From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes part one of a two-part message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called Needs to Open Our Mouths. The text is Psalm 81 and verse 10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What an encouragement to pray! Our human notions would lead us to ask small things, because our deservings are so small. But the Lord would have us request great blessings. Prayer should be as simple a matter as the opening of the mouth. It should be a natural, unconstrained utterance. When a man is in earnest, he opens his mouth wide, and our text urges us to be fervent in our supplications. Yet it also means that we may make bold with God and ask many and large blessings at His hands. Read the whole verse and see the argument. I am Jehovah, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Because the Lord has given us so much, He invites us to ask for more, yea, to expect more. See how the little birds in their nests seem to be all mouth when the mother comes to feed them. Let it be the same with us. Let us take in grace at every door. Let us drink it in as a sponge sucks up the water in which it lies. God is ready to fill us if we are only ready to be filled. Let our needs make us open our mouths. Let our faintness cause us to open our mouths and pant. Yea, let our alarm make us open our mouths with a child's cry. The opened mouth shall be filled by the Lord Himself. So be it unto us, O Lord, this day.
Every voice and harp is swelling.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. Currently, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the second petition in the prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. As we've seen, the kingdom referred to by the Savior is the kingdom of grace, which he came to earth to establish through his death on the cross. Its subjects are those who have, by faith, received Christ as their Savior and Lord. It is thus a personal kingdom, for souls come into it one by one. Not only so, but it is a present kingdom. Christ reigns now over his people. Then it is a powerful kingdom, for the monarch of this realm is none the less than the omnipotent God of heaven and earth. In another sense, this kingdom is prophetic, for the full realization of it awaits the second coming of Christ. Now to conclude part one of this two-part message called, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Entering into the kingdom of heaven is personally coming out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God, from death unto life eternal. And that's why Jesus started his ministry, Matthew 4, verse 17, by emphasizing that the kingdom is entered by personal repentance. From that time began Jesus to preach and say, Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it's present. It's entered by repentance. That's how you enter this kingdom. You do not enter it by simply being in the visible church. We have noted there are tares, etc., in the visible church. These are baptized, confirmed, communicating church members. but they are rooted out, for they are not the children of the kingdom. They don't belong there. They have been inserted there illegitimately, but they don't belong there. Why? Because they have never come by faith and repentance to receive Jesus Christ. This kingdom you enter when you repent and believe the gospel, to use the words of Mark 1:15. Repent, believe the gospel, and you'll be in the kingdom. Let me tell you, my friend, today, if the kingdom, let me rephrase that, since the kingdom is, as I've described it now, when a person repents and believes the gospel, he is immediately brought into a saving union with Christ. He is under the dominion of God's grace in Christ, and he is certain of a place in heaven for all eternity. He's saved by the grace of God. That's how you enter the kingdom. No other way. When you enter this kingdom, it is more than sacrament. It is more than show. It is more than external religion. Paul said in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink or eating and drinking. There are so many people like the people in Rome, and they had their own little theories as to what a Christian could eat and what a Christian could drink, according to their interpretation of their relation to Jewish ceremonial law or to the practices of the society round about them. Some felt they could eat anything. Others said, no, we can't do that. Others felt that they should have some other standard, and they were dividing themselves. And Paul said, look, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking. What is it? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, there's an internal spiritual reality here. This is the kingdom. And having a place in this kingdom is absolutely vital. Every one of us has an invitation to enter. Jesus says in his parable, come, for all things are now ready. And that is the invitation of the king in this parable. The king says, come, all things are now ready. There's a full provision. And Jesus says it's worth any cost, it's worth any effort to make sure you enter that kingdom. So much so indeed. So much so that in Mark 9:43 he says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for thee to enter into life, to enter into the kingdom, maimed, than having two hands to go into hell. Most commentators will tell you, of course, that is figurative language. I'm not so sure. I think there's an extreme literalness here. Jesus is saying, no matter what it costs, whatever is hindering you from coming into the kingdom, get rid of it. No matter how it hurts, no matter what it costs you, no matter what's involved, get rid of whatever is keeping you out of the kingdom. Get rid of it. And however great the loss down here, it's nothing in comparison to the loss of your soul. That's what Jesus is saying. Be earnest about this. In a great statement in Matthew 11, verse 12, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Most people think, and I think there's a great deal to be said for it, he's saying after John's preparatory preaching, people have been, as it were, storming the kingdom. They've been rushing to get in. They've been stirred and convicted, and they want to get in. There are Pharisees standing in their way. There are Sadducees standing in their way. There'd be excommunication from the synagogue, but they're still storming their way into the kingdom. My friend, there is a holy violence, forcefulness, that is determined to seize the opportunity to enter into the kingdom, and that is of God. Be earnest. You know, if these things are true, I must say, this is something that really does, I don't want to use too strong a language, but it does sicken me. Really does sicken me to the heart. And I can understand well the words of the Savior when he spoke to the church of the Laodiceans and said, "You make me vomit." Is that strong language? That's not my invention. That was spoken from the throne of God. Revelation chapter 3. What was he talking about? People who will nod in acceptance and in a sense say, "Yes, that's true. Christ is the King. He's the King of grace. He's the King of glory. Yes, God has sent His Son into the world. Yes, it's very important that I repent and be converted. Yes, it's important to believe the gospel. Yes, 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 I believe all these things." And then you sit back as if you've just said, "Well, I like popcorn." It's meaningless. Utterly meaningless. You're neither cold nor hot. Listen, how can we say these things are so and they don't stir our being? How can we say we believe these things and they don't set a fire alight within our soul that will blaze no matter what opposition there is? Jesus says, if you're going to be in the kingdom, there must be a holy, let me even use the word again, a violent forcefulness about you. You've got to be dead in earnest about this. This kingdom's personal. It's personal. It's not just some airy-fairy thing up there. It starts in here. It comes with Christ and you entering into life by repenting and believing the gospel. Now let me ask you, are you in the kingdom? Because you're either in the kingdom or you're a rebel against the King. It's personal. It's present. Here and now. Luke 17:21, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." He means in the midst of you. He was certainly not saying, this was spoken to the Pharisees, he was certainly not saying to the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was in their hearts, for it wasn't. But he's saying it's in the midst of you. It has already come. There is a sense in which it's already present. Matthew 12:28, he says, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is or has come unto you." It's in the present tense. It's not only future, but it's present. And I like this next part. It's powerful. I've just read you Matthew 12:28. "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God," or in Luke's words, "by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Do you see what he's saying? He's saying when the kingdom comes, what happens? The devil's defeated. The power of God is manifested. Souls are liberated. The chains are broken. The dominion of the old serpent is smashed. And men and women are set at liberty. That's the kingdom coming. That's the kingdom. Kingdom of God, you know, is not in word, but it's in power. There's always power where the kingdom is. Why? Because we're dealing with a real living sovereign. We're dealing with the Son of God ruling in grace. And grace in Christ is greater than any power of guilt or gloom in Satan. Jesus Christ breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. I love the 5th chapter of Mark. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. You've got 3 glorious examples. of the Lord Jesus Christ breaking the power of sin starts with the legion. Legion possessing the man who's known as the demoniac of Gadara. What a pitiable sight, and yet what a wretched and awful sight. One that would strike fear and terror into your heart. A man possessed, driven beyond insanity, with supernatural physical strength, wicked, vile, wretched, living among the tombs, cutting himself, running naked in that place of death, couldn't be chained. You know, that's the best that society can do for such a person, chain him. Chain him. Either put him in an institution or pump enough drugs into him that he can't do much. Just chain him. But the chains don't do anything for him. He'll break them asunder. And Jesus came. And with one word, he set him free. There's power. It's a powerful kingdom. The gospel is the power of God. Why? Because it's the gospel of the King. It's the gospel of the kingdom. He has power to break every power of hell. It's a powerful kingdom. As I've indicated, it's prophetic. It is prophetic. It means it's yet to come. Here's the thing that too many people find difficult, and yet, really, if you've been following what I've said, there's no contradiction here. It has come because Christ has come. It is yet to come because Christ is yet to come again. It has come because Christ has come and is a living Savior. But Christ is coming again in all His glory. So the fullest manifestations of the kingdom are yet to come. It's prophetic. It will come millennially and it will come eternally. The prophet Daniel looked forward to this. And he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and this kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's the future for the King and for His kingdom. Now, as the airline pilots would say, sit back in your seat, because now we can approach the text. I haven't got to preaching the text yet. I've just been clearing the decks to let you understand what it means. But I put you at ease. I will leave the exposition of the text till the next time, simply saying this. Bring all these things together. What am I praying when I pray? In the light of all this kingdom of grace and of glory, what am I praying when I pray, Thy kingdom come? I'm asking the Father in heaven to advance the reign of His grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in us, and in the whole world, and to hasten the full and final establishment of Christ's reign unto everlasting glory. Lord, advance the reign of grace in me, in this church, throughout this world, let grace prevail and God speed the day when grace will lead us into glory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.